another episode of 90 Day Fiance. Wait, what happened? I'm Kiara. I'm going to be your host. And I'm going to be doing this episode solo, so bear with me. This episode actually didn't have, like, anything too crazy happen. But we're going to go ahead and get started with Alina and Caleb. So, Alina and Caleb finally do the do. And it's funny because the day after, Alina asked Caleb if he was nervous to do it. And all I have to say is, girl, what do you think? He hasn't been kissing her. He definitely hasn't been having sex with her. So what part of that would make you think that he wasn't nervous? It's funny, though, because they both talked about how it was a little awkward because of the positioning and, of course, her height. And Caleb was talking to the people in the confessional, and he actually was talking about, like, he was wondering if he could throw her around, and he didn't know if that would be okay. And all I have to say is, really, Caleb, after all the weeks that you've been there, after all the times that you know Alina has wanted to have sex, and you haven't, don't you think this is a conversation that y'all should have had together? Why are you saying this to the confessional when you need to be saying it to Alina? Anyway, they end up going to the Grand Bazaar, and Elijah goes with them. I'm not gonna lie, I actually really like Elijah. He is very upfront, he's very real, he's gonna tell you how it is, point blank, period. But not in a mean way. I hate that tough love type of blunt, I'm going to just tell you whatever, even though it hurts your feelings type of friendship. And I love that Elijah is not like that. He's going to keep it real. He's going to tell you what you need to do. But he's not going to be mean about it. And that's important. So they end up at the bazaar. And what really kind of pissed me off, honestly, is that Caleb asked Elijah and Alina if they wanted tea, and they were like, yeah, of course, whatever. And he's like, okay, yeah, get me some. I'm gonna go look at whatever the fuck. Y'all, can you imagine if somebody asks you if you want something, but they're really only asking because they want you to get them something, not because they want to get it for you. Or y'all are all three gonna go get it. No, they want you to go buy it for them? Question mark. Caleb, you were not sick. Anyway, so when they go to get the tea, Elijah actually tells Alina that she needs to just flat out ask Caleb what's going on with their relationship. Are they gonna be together when he goes back to the United States or not? And Alina is kind of scared because of this secret, quote unquote, that she has been hiding from Caleb, which happens to be about the fact that she was still living with her ex-boyfriend, but now she's not. So Alina, what's the big deal? Just tell him. But she feels like she can't tell him, and also that she doesn't have the right to ask him about their future because of this ex-boyfriend situation. Girl, you don't still live with him now. You don't still contact him, I would hope. So just ask him what it is and what it ain't and move on. I cannot stand this mess of, oh, I don't know what's going on. And, you know, I don't want to ask because of this, that, and the other. Whatever. I also did want to mention that Alina has been a very bad girl. So apparently Alina was calling black people the N-word a few years ago. And apparently she has also been kind of racist to the Asian community. What do y'all think about this? Obviously, I think that is unacceptable. And apparently, you know, the whole reason that baby girl Lisa ended up getting kicked off of the show is because of the fact that she had said the N-word in the past. So I want to know if TLC is going to give Alina a pass because, you know, she's younger, cuter, handicapped, or are they going to also kick her off the show? Because it's not acceptable either way. So you can't do one thing to somebody else and then let the other person pass. So I'm interested to hear what y'all have to say as well. But on a brighter note, let's move forward because I want to go on to Kim and Usman, who we actually didn't get to see last week. So it was kind of good to see them this week. So when we first see them, Kim is getting ready to go with Usman to his video shoot. And Kim says that she should be one of the dancers because her butt is bigger than the actual dancer's butt. And y'all, did y'all see the part where the camera zoomed in on her butt? Now, why they do my good sis like that? I'm not gonna lie. Parts of the show, though, her butt looked way better than when they zoomed in on her butt on that one part. Because at first I was like, girl, what butt? But then I was like, okay, she doesn't have a big butt, but she also doesn't have a little butt. So, I see. Anyway, they're on the way to the video shoot, and Usman reveals to us that the song is not only called Zara, but it's about a woman named Zara, who is actually from the United States. And I just want to bring up something. Remember the other week when we talked about, like, our older white women Usman's type? You know, is he kind of, is that what he likes in a woman? And we kind of concluded that that was. Well, after watching this episode and seeing Zara, I think that we can completely rule that out. So now, I don't know. What do y'all think now that y'all have seen what Zara looks like, who he wrote this song about, versus what Kimberly and baby girl Lisa looked like? Do y'all think that he is just using Kimberly and in the past baby girl Lisa to get more famous, to get to America even? Or do y'all think that maybe he just has multiple types and baby girl Lisa / Kimberly / Zara are just different versions of those types? Because those people are not in the same boat at all. Like, they're not even on the same level, in my opinion. So we get to the part where Usman is getting his haircut in preparation for his video shoot, and the power goes out. Kimberly goes into straight mom mode. It wasn't even girlfriend or, like, my little boo type of mode. She went into straight mom mode. And to me, if I was this man, that shit would have turned me right on off. Because it wasn't like protection in that girlfriend protection type of way. She literally went into, I'm his mother and you better do right by my son, because if you don't, I'm gonna get mad. And maybe I just view it that way because she is so much older. But at the same time, I'm like, no, I think she really was kind of low-key, like, mom mode. It actually got to one part where Kimberly wasn't even letting Usman's friends say anything. She was saying, you know, what's going on with the clothes? Why are his clothes all messed up? Blah, blah, blah. And the friends are saying the clothes came from Nigeria. I was so lost. I don't know if anybody else was, but I was so lost at this point because Kimberly wasn't letting them get a word in. All they were saying was that the clothes were from Nigeria. I didn't know why they were saying that. Were they saying that because the clothes were missing? Were they saying that because, I don't know. I was so lost, and Kimberly was not letting them explain. So she don't even know. Well, we end up fast forwarding to the video shoot, and of course Usman has his female model with him on the video shoot. And you know what? I was actually pretty impressed with Kim for not getting upset that he was touching on the model and, you know, kind of flirting with the model a little bit, because obviously he's working. But she was still pretty supportive. And honestly, that's a big difference that I see between, like, Kimberly and baby girl Lisa, or even Kimberly and Angela if they were to be compared, because I feel like the other two would have popped off. But Kimberly was actually being very supportive, so I appreciated that. Also, I want to say that they played a snippet of Usman's new video, Zara. And I'll just say that Usman's music is actually pretty good. Even the song that he made for Baby Girl Lisa was really good. This one also sounded pretty good. Like, that's music that I would probably listen to, honestly. I'm not gonna lie. If I listened to that kind of music. So they get in the car after the video shoot, and I just want to know one thing. Why the hell was Usman pretending to be asleep while Kimberly is popping off on his friends in the backseat? He's like asleep on her lap, and she's telling the friends about how horrible of a job they did. And he's like, I'm asleep. All of a sudden, he wakes up. But when he got up, he was actually on Kim's side, which I appreciate it because, like I said, she cared about his video shoot and the day that he had. And not necessarily go against his friends, but to just let them know what's up. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to Memphis and Hamza. When they first show them, oh my gosh. So Memphis has to take a shit. And that's fine, right? I think it's actually pretty interesting that she's so open with him, because I know me, like, when I first meet somebody or, you know, get to know somebody, I do not want to be talking about me shitting. But Memphis had no problem with it, because remember, of course, this is her first time meeting Hamza. But anyway, that's all fine and good. Can we please figure out what is with Memphis and this damn baby talk that she continues to do on every episode? So this episode, she's talking about me have to poop and me done. And yeah, she does it on every single episode. All I can say is I think Hamza could probably understand you without the baby talk. And I know that's why she's doing it, is so that he gets it. He understands better. But honestly, a part of me thinks that he would be okay. Like, he would be able to understand it without all of that, honestly. Later on in the episode, though, we get to a point that's actually pretty serious. Hamza was actually able to hear Memphis open up about her parents and about how her parents were on drugs when she was growing up. And, you know, she really didn't have that much of a support system. I think that Hamza actually took that in very nicely. It was a very sweet moment of her just bearing her heart out to him, because you can already tell with Memphis that that's not something that she does easily. So it was nice to see her do that with Hamza. But of course, like any fucking man, Hamza has to ruin it, because Memphis ends up finding out that Hamza lied to her about his age. Hamza's sister ends up coming out and telling Hamza's real age, which is a few years younger than the age that he told Memphis that he was. And you know what? I was actually on Memphis's side during this whole situation, because with all of her, with everything that she's gone through in the past, you know, it's probably not very easy for her to trust people. And when you think that you know somebody and then you find out that something so small as their fucking age is a whole lie, you really do start to wonder, like, what else did they lie to me about? So I was definitely on her side with that, because, you know, it's certain things that you just don't lie about. And a part of me feels like, honestly, if you would lie about something that small, you would lie about anything. Especially if she never said that she had an issue with an age gap or not, and he lied anyway to make himself seem older. It's low-key kind of like, well, what's the point, you know? I wanted to bring up something, though, that I found interesting. And I noticed it on pretty much all of the episodes up to this point, but Hamza always has this look on his face of either everything is fucking funny or he is just lost as hell. It's never anything else. Everything's funny or he's lost. Period. So when Memphis is really upset, obviously, about the age thing, and she's confronting him about it, and he looks like he wants to laugh the entire time. Hamza, what is going on? I'm like, really? This is a serious moment, Hamza. You need to control yourself. You see what one little lie could lead to, because then his sister ended up getting dragged into everything. And, you know, she's having to prove that he actually graduated from college and all this other kind of stuff. That is just too much. Just tell the fucking truth. And if somebody doesn't want to be with you because of that, then they just don't. Why is it so hard? Okay, let's move on to the fucking shit show of a couple that is Gino and Jasmine. I'm sorry. I like Gino. I think that he's a good guy, but Jasmine, girl. So when we first see them, they're at the gym, and Gino says that he decides to go with Jasmine to the gym because obviously they had gotten into the huge fight about the Christmas gifts, so he wanted to make it better. But Gino is just sitting there. Gino was not working out. He wasn't helping her lift weights or whatever the fuck. He's just sitting there. Honestly, I'm kind of a Jasmine when she said she usually works out by herself, because all that would do would piss me off. Why are you just sitting here watching me work out? Anyway, Jasmine mentions that she has booked a trip for her and Gino, since he didn't get her a Christmas gift. And of course, she's expecting for him to pay for said trip. And the trip is $2,500. I just have so many questions. And one of the questions is, Gino, why is it that the confessional people know, and also us as viewers know, that you don't have money because of the fact that you lost your job during COVID, and you spent so much money going to Colombia? Why do we know that? But Jasmine doesn't seem to know that. And if she does, she doesn't freaking care, which should also be a red flag to you, because I'm trying to figure out why he's telling us, but he hasn't told Jasmine. What's really going on? So they seem to be doing okay at that point, because Gino decides that, you know, the money doesn't really matter. He wants to do what he can to make Jasmine happy, which is really good, right? Out of nowhere, Jasmine starts talking about how she wants him to burn all the stuff in his house that came from his ex. And then she says that she hates talking about the exes because she always thinks about his house and about how they decorated it and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, Jasmine, you literally brought this up. Like, it literally came out of nowhere. You just brought this up on your own and now you're mad. Jasmine got so mad, y'all. Did you guys see her foaming at the damn mouth? She was crying so hard. She had, like, spit and shit coming out of her mouth. Oh, my gosh. I was like, okay, yeah. It's not an act. This girl is really crazy. First, she brings it up. Then she gets mad at him. Now she's spitting everywhere and, like, drooling and shit. Girl. And Gino said at that point, like, you know, he doesn't know where to go from there, because she wants him to spend all that money on the trip and get rid of all the stuff in his house. And all I have to say is, Gino, don't go on that damn $2,500 trip. That's for damn sure. If you don't know where to go, that is for sure where you should not go, is on that damn trip. Period. So my next question to y'all is that, do you think that Jasmine was wrong in this situation when she said that she feels like Gino lives in the past? A part of me actually was kind of on her side when she said that, because Gino does have a lot of his ex's stuff in his house. And I feel like it's not the worst thing that she would think that, but she's just so dramatic that it's so hard to be on her side with stuff. It was funny though, because Jasmine told Gino that he needs to go back on the website and find another woman to be with. Did y'all see Gino's face? He made a face like, don't fucking tip me, okay? I done put up with enough of your shit. Do not tip me. Anyway, Jasmine finally tells Gino that she's taking birth control pills. And she tells him that they're not even close to starting a family. And actually, I think that's the first sane thing that I've heard Jasmine say in these past 6 episodes. And here's the thing that made me kind of iffy, though. Y'all see how Jasmine went to 100, right? When she's talking about the ex situation, everything, she's on 100. Then all of a sudden, she's on like 5 when she's talking about the birth control pills and whatnot. I was like, oh yeah, she's crazy for real. This is not a joke. This is not a false alarm. And it seems like every single episode, Gino says the same exact thing about how on that current day, he's seen so many things that have made him second guess being with Jasmine. But every single time, he continues to stay. All I'm saying is, Gino, your ass must fucking like toxic situations. Because ain't no way that any normal person would still be in Colombia at this point. They have so much drama. I am ready to move on, though. So let's move on to somebody that we actually haven't seen yet, which happens to be Ben from Michigan. Y'all, what is your first impression about Ben? Because when I first saw him and he's measuring his body fat with the little pincher thing, and then he's asking production, oh, how much do y'all think I weigh? Boy, who the fuck cares? I can't stand people like that. Like, you already know that you have a nice body, that you look good or whatever. And then now it just kind of seems like you're fishing for compliments. Like, what do you expect them to say? I'm sure it's the same thing that you're thinking in your head. Like, why are you even asking? Anyway, he reveals that he was in a cult religion. And honestly, I really don't know what to say about that. I mean, it's sad. You know, they showed his childhood pictures and, you know, the fact that he was with his wife for so long in that cult religion, quote unquote, that, you know, I just kind of felt bad. We see him and he's working on his bike. And y'all know the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, he's going through a midlife crisis. Because not only does he have this fucking motorcycle, he divorced his first wife, he's fucking with Mahogany. But even later on, we find out that he was also with another woman that was hella young. And I'm like, yeah, this guy's going through a midlife crisis. Which is actually interesting because on the show, he said, I'm not going through a midlife crisis or anything. Yeah, okay. Keep telling yourself that. So, Ben has been talking to Mahogany, and she's from Peru, and all I can say is she seems fake just from the damn name. What kind of name is Mahogany on somebody that is from Peru? I mean, is she just living there? Is she actually from there? That does not seem like a Peruvian name. I'm just saying. And he says that Mahogany has hit a nerve that no one ever has because, you know, she's being very sweet to him, very loving, very kind. And all I have to say is, imagine being his ex-wife of fucking 24 years and you hear your ex-husband say something like that. Like, that he has never felt this way before, the way that he feels about this other woman, and he was married to your ass for 24 years. I would be pissed, because if you didn't feel that way about me, why the heck did you stay married to me for 24 years? And not only that, you know, like, you could let me be free to explore my options in those 24 years, in my younger years. And instead, you stay married to me, and now your ass is out here having the time of your life while I'm out here raising your fucking kids. Get out of here. Anyway, Ben ends up going to lunch and he is telling his friends about Mahogany. And his friends, of course, are asking the hard questions. Have you ever seen her? Have you sent her money? Which he has. And he also says that he has seen her on video chat. And he shows them this video that she sent him. And she just says, hey, honey, it's Mahogany. Bye. She doesn't say, I love you. She's not saying any of that sweet shit that she was saying in the Facebook messages. She's just, hey, bye. I'm sorry, but she seems fake. Obviously, we are going to see in the coming seasons. It reminds me of that season with David and the girl. I don't even remember her name. But the whole season, we were thinking that she wasn't real. And then she happened to be real in the end. That's what this reminds me of. Because why wasn't she saying any of that sweet shit that she was saying before in the video message? I'm just saying. Anyway, we find out that Ben has actually been scammed before. And it was some guy in Africa. And all I'm saying is that's the story that we really need to hear. So when he goes to tell his ex-wife and the kids about Mahogany coming, he makes note that the ex isn't really over the divorce and how he feels like she still holds resentment. Like I said before, I mean, obviously at this point she doesn't know, but if my husband of so long was leaving me and being with all these younger women and doing all these crazy things, I too would maybe feel some resentment. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't really blame her. And I think that she was asking the right questions for obviously the kids and for herself. Because at the end of the day, she is still involved. You know, you can't leave her out of it. And I actually thought that was pretty nice that he did include her. So that was good. Let's move on to our last couple of the night, which happened to be Mike and Jimena, which when we first see them, of course, they're using that fucking whack-ass translator. Back and forth. I'm sorry. It was so annoying. It was like even more annoying than Jihoon and Devin. I'm telling y'all. Oh my gosh. So they're showing them and they're having the conversation. And honestly, the entire time, I'm thinking, y'all, as a 90-day fiancé family, we need to find someone good for Mike. Because he is just going to constantly get hurt from Jimena. Who is on board to find somebody for Mike? Because she just keeps playing with him. And it's crazy because she's so young. She's only 24. But all of her experiences, all the things that she has been through and put him through, ooh, she seems way older. I'm just saying. So on this episode, Mike is, of course, asking the hard questions to Jimena. You know, why did you lie about having kids, everything like that? And I just want to say that I'm right from last week. I told y'all that it seemed like she was just using, oh, I was in so much pain and I was suffering as an excuse. And I wholeheartedly believe that now because she ends up saying that she's glad that she got the surgery because she didn't know how many more kids that she was going to have and possibly not even know their dads. So she's glad that she had the surgery. So now she can just have sex with whoever she wants and not worry about the kids. And this is what I told y'all last week. Remember this. But, you know, I was glad that Mike was actually standing up for himself in this situation and letting her know how he really felt because he's so reserved and soft-spoken that I actually thought that he was going to let her get away with lying to him for so long and about something that is so important. But he didn't. He actually, you know, was able to tell her. And, of course, she tries to guilt trip him and she tells him he's a father to her kids. And, you know, what are her kids going to do if he decides to leave? If I was Mike, that shit would have pissed me off so bad. I would have been like, bitch, I don't even know your kids. Your kids don't know me. We never even had a real conversation. They'll be fine. I'm leaving. It's the fact that she tried to manipulate him for me. He doesn't know her kids, and her kids don't know him. So why are you trying to make him feel bad if he were to leave your kids? The kids would be fine. Unless, of course, she has built him up so much to the kids that they feel like they do know him. But even still, it's her fault if that's the case, because why are you building up somebody that your kids never even met and don't know? This was pretty rough, though, because I felt bad for Mike because, you know, hearing him talk about how he wanted his own kids, it breaks your heart to know that if he stays with her, that is something that he's always wanted that he is having to give up. And that's not like giving up a hobby or anything like that. That is literally saying that you're okay with giving up the fact that you will have your own kids. I could not imagine. And honestly, I probably would be like, hell no. Well, later on in the episode, they end up going to a resort. And Mike is about ready to pounce, okay? He starts kissing Jimena. They're all over each other. But then Jimena says no because she doesn't like it. And y'all, I can't help but feel like she is leading him on so bad. She is not attracted to him. We already know this. And she didn't think that the sex was very good the first time that they did it. I mean, we know that. She said that. It just seems like she is leading him on so bad. And I'm like, girl, just let him go. And if anything, that should show him that she wants a father for her kids. She wants somebody that's going to be able to provide. And Mike is doing all that for her. And she's taking full advantage of it. While they're at the resort, they go to the hot tub. They're chilling or whatever. And Jimena tells Mike that she used to live with a hitman. Like, basically, she was in a relationship with a hitman. And he threatened to kill her. And, you know, obviously, she's still alive. So that would tell you, like, one of two things, right? Like, either he's in jail for trying to kill her, or maybe he is dead himself. Y'all. Why the hell did Jimena say that she went to the police with what he said to her about killing her, and then after that, she just didn't hear from this guy again? So he's not in jail. He's not dead. He's just on the loose out here somewhere. And then Mike asks, like, should we be worried? And she says, no, we shouldn't be worried. It's been so many years or whatever. Girl, once he sees your ass on TV with another man, there's no doubt in your mind that he may or may not want to harm you. Look, obviously, I don't know the guy. But I would not be so confident. It's been only 2 years, so he's fine. He's not going to come after us. Absolutely not. I think the shit show couples of this season, definitely Gino and Jasmine and Mike and Jimena, they are tripping. I need to actually probably look to see if they're still together, but I like to wait and be surprised at either the end of the season or if there's another season to see if they're still together. But I think I might actually look to see, because I'm curious, especially about these two. I don't think that there's any controversy surrounding anybody else except for Alina. So don't forget to comment on our Instagram or mention us on Twitter and let us know what y'all think about this whole Alina situation. I'm shocked. I feel like I shouldn't be, but I am. So before we leave for the evening, I wanted to mention that if you saw one of our latest Instagram posts, you know that we said that we will be shouting out anybody who could tell myself and Kiana apart with some of the pictures that we posted on Instagram. I want to say that nobody guessed right. One person guessed that I was on the left and Kiana was on the right. And that's so wrong. I'm sorry. I'm on the right. Kiana was on the left in both of those pictures. But we're going to continue to do little things like these where we shout y'all out if you guess correctly. So make sure that you follow us on Instagram at 90 Day Fiance. Wait, what? Also, We're on Twitter at 90 Day Fiance WWH. Because we do try to live tweet with all of the new episodes every week. And of course, y'all don't want to miss that. We'll be back with another episode.